not adjust your radio frequency. This is not a test. This is the Artist First Network. Cool.
Across every time zone, covering both hemispheres. It's a featured music special on a Sunday night at Artist First Z-Man Studio 1A. I'm glad you guys are with us. You know, statistically speaking, it's an honor to work here because we get more listeners a month than Newsweek magazine gets readers. How cool is that? And, hey, that's kind of neat. Joining us tonight, and you know why? It's not because of the idiots that are DJs here, myself included. It's because we bring you some of the best talent from the world over. Yeah, there's still, it's even after a decade of opening up doors in the music business, it's still hard for a lot of people to be heard, and that's why we are here. And tonight, we've got a great guest. You're going to enjoy this music. You guys know I'm a piano player by profession, and we have a fellow piano player joining us tonight, and I'll tell you right off the gate, I can't even carry this guy's equipment. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest. He was 6 years old when he got a piano at his house and sat down as a curious kid, started to press the keys, and what do you know? He had a talent to do this. He's also a high school music teacher on Long Island, and he writes a bunch of great stuff that you're going to hear during this hour as we feature his album. Ladies and gentlemen, it's James Taglia. Hi, James.
Scott, thank you. How are you, man? Good talking to you.
Hey, it's a pleasure to have you on the broadcast. You've got some really, really cool stuff on this CD, and I'm going to ask you after we play it if you'll let us put some of it in our rotation.
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
Nice stuff here. But we're going to introduce you to the public. No doubt there's people listening to this broadcast that are going to hear about you for the very first time. So let's back up and talk about when you were 6 years old and they rolled that big upright into your house.
What a day. What a moment. It was this big, huge old clunker that my parents had bought for my sister and I, and they kind of rolled it in, and all I know, I don't know if you can hear this or not, but when I sat down, all I could play was this. And it sounded great. Wow, man. Oh, see, what do you do as a young kid? You play the thing over and over again. So I played those three notes. And lo and behold, those three notes actually became one of the tracks on the CD called Melody America. But it was really cool. You bring me back to those first days, you know, when you get your first instrument, you go, wow, what is this? How do I play this thing? How do I make this thing work? So it's been a long time since then. I've come a long way since then.
Well, I feel like some kind of kindred spirit with you. They rolled a Storni and Clark Spin It into my house when I was 7.
There you go.
And I'm self-taught like you are. Well, I don't know that you're self-taught, but you certainly started on your own. We'll find out more about that later. But, you know, the same thing. Just sat down, played, and found I had something I just could do. Just was there already. So, obviously, you have the gift of music. You're a music educator. So that means you had to go through some formal training, right?
Yep.
Obviously, but you know what? Did you find it hard to make the adjustment from playing by ear and just knowing the music to having to study it as a science?
Scott, you hit the nail right on the head. When you first, and you probably know the same thing. When you start, when you're young, and you play by ear, that's that instant gratification. But for me, someone like myself, who I always found it difficult to kind of have that discipline to sit and look at the music, look at the page, you know, match the note up to the note on the piano. Oh, after a while, it just got a little bit frustrating. So what do? You start to create and you start to play. But I did go to college for it, and, you know, you get past all that, but I still have that wanting to compose. And then you pick up some techniques. So I tell my kids, hey, look, guys and girls, you know, you may have this ability to play by ear now. That's wonderful, but you want to learn what's on the page also. You want to sit down, get that discipline, be able to decipher the notes on the page so you can play for yourself and you become self-sufficient. I have a student now. Scott is the most incredible young man, beautiful composer, but doesn't know what he's, you know, he doesn't know how to write it out on a piece of paper. And I said, you know, I said that, Raphael, you're a great player, man, but you really got to learn how to read. That's going to help you down the line. But don't forget to keep composing, but learn how to read also. So, yeah, I had a teacher tell me, you're not supposed to be practicing what you're supposed to be doing. Yeah, I know. But I want to kind of compose and let it out a little bit, and then, yeah, we go back to practicing.
Well, in the nightclub and concert world that I deal in, and believe me, we're not big-time stars by any stretch of the imagination, but everything is done by ear.
Everything's done by ear. You are absolutely right. You know, that's how, and I'm sure you can say the same thing when you're on, you know, you're on a bandstand, you're with a bunch of guys, and usually you've either played with them, you practice and rehearse. Sometimes you get a call, hey, look, my keyboard player can't make it, can you come in? And you know, you sit down, and the fact that you know the tunes, hey, I know this next chord's coming up, hey, I know the next chord's coming up. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll say to the guitar player, hey, show me your neck. Let me look at the neck of your guitar, man. I'll follow your guitar chords so I can play along with you. And that's how you get through gigs. Or you say to the bass player, you know, let me look at your neck so I can see what you're doing. Because that's how, you know, and that's where the, you know, the use of your ear comes in. And it's so important to have all those things, by playing, by reading, by listening, and just knowing the tune so you know what the next chord's going to happen, what's going to come up next.
Well, this is so weird because listeners, when Jim was in high school, let's face it, guitar players get chicks. Piano players, well, it's a lot harder to get chicks when you're a piano player, you know?
You are right, man. You are so right. Like, why are these guys getting all the girls? I'm sitting there playing, you know, playing the piano. I'm like, how come I'm not getting, you know? But it's true, man. It's true.
Yeah, so when he was talking about being able to read the neck of a guitarist, that's because you tried to switch to guitar and sort of. I'm glad you came back to came back home, because every instrument, you probably play more instruments than anyone can count. But
You know, it's funny. I started out on piano when I was younger, like I said, 6 years old. Took lessons. Then in high school, I switched to playing a guitar for a while, and I didn't appreciate it back then. I studied with a jazz guy who taught me a lot of chords, and I just didn't dig it. I wanted to play whatever was on the radio at the time. Of course, like every young guitar player, you want to play lots of riffs and lots of solos, and I didn't appreciate it now until now. I look back, oh yeah, now I know what he was trying to teach me. And I think about my junior year in high school, I kind of went back to playing, you know, piano. And you know that kind of feeling, yeah, I'm back home where I belong. Not that I don't mind playing guitar, but piano was my instrument. Piano is my main instrument now. Thank goodness for that training, because now I do have a guitar class in my high school that I teach. But I just sitting down to the piano, that really, truly, that's my baby. That's what relaxes me.
And you know what? Now that we're seasoned musicians, shall we say,
yeah,
it's kind of cool to be a piano player. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
You get all the old chicks. Wait, my lads? That didn't come out. Ah, crap. Well, that's the way it goes. All right, folks, if you're just joining us, you're right on time, because you're about to start hearing tracks from the new CD entitled Stories to Be Told. James Taglia is our guest tonight. This album is terrific. If you heard this top of the broadcast, we would like to put several of these tracks into our rotation tonight.
I would be honored. Thank you, sir.
We're going to start with the first track. First track's always important, man, when you know.
Yeah.
You pick. So this particular track that we're going to play is called Ode to Al and Chuck. And would you like to prep our audience before we play this cut? What was?
I would love to. Al Jarreau and Chuck Mangione are both jazz players. Al Jarreau is a vocalist, jazz vocalist. And the story behind it was, when I was in high school, I was working as a daytime custodian. I'll say it now, for RCA Records, which is unfortunately no longer. But I would go through the various departments and pick up the garbage and whatnot. And whatever artist and development representative didn't want any of those demo albums, they put it outside their office, and I'd take them and throw them out. And I saw this one, and it said Al Jarreau, and I saw the tune Take Five. And I knew the tune. I was kind of getting into jazz. And back then, when there were albums, the cuts were like huge. There were these big, fat, wide cuts. This is like an extended play album. And I took it home, and I listened to Al Jarreau sing the tune, and I was just floored by this guy's prowess as a musician that a vocalist could do this. And so when I was, when you get to the piano, you're just kind of working things out. I always kind of like that backbeat shuffle, that dry, you know, drum sound. That's just a good snap. And I was writing this tune, and I said, yeah, this just reminds me of Al Jarreau. And then when I was getting to the middle part of the tune, I said, this really calls for a flugelhorn, for a real Chuck Mangione moment, you know, when you just comes in with that flugelhorn, you know exactly that's him. So really it's just an ode to him. They were, again, my, those people you listen to when you're younger and you're trying to find your way as a musician. These two artists were definitely in my rotation as a per se in terms of listening. So yeah, ode to Al and Chuck.
You are listening to the music of James Taglia. He is our featured music special tonight. Z-Man with you on a Sunday night. Sunday night in January, the last year, by the way. We're all going to die in December or something like that. Anyway, listen to Project Urantia. We'll tell you more about that. Jim, music is something that is difficult. Most people don't have that natural gift. It is a rarity. Most people never write a song in their whole life. You've written a bunch. Where do you think that creativity comes from?
forgive me for laughing. That's a great question. And I'm always thinking, geez, man, there are people out there, you know, writing better than I am. And you always want to try to better your craft. Where does it come from? I think it comes from a lot of things, man. I think it comes from the gene pool in your family. My mom was a great alto singer. She was not a professional singer, but had a really great, beautiful sound when she sang, and had a keen, always loved Sinatra. Oh, God, man, she was always talking about Sinatra. Actually, I think if I remember correctly, she cut school one day in the 40s to go see Sinatra play in the city. That was a big thing for her. But I think it comes from the genes. I think it comes from determination of your own self, how much you want to play and devote to your instrument. And I think it comes from the things that you hear around you. Funny, this is going to sound really weird. When I go shopping with my wife, and I don't know if you do this, but, man, I'm always listening to the music that's in the mall or in the store or whatever, that stuff that they're playing over the, you know, the PA system. Go, oh, man, yeah, that was a good chord change. That was cool. Yeah, no, I don't like the way they did that there. Oh, I like that arrangement. So I find I'm a better composer, writer of music than I am a lyricist. And that's where it comes from for me. When I was in the studio, the engineer said, geez, man, where are you getting this stuff from? I don't know. This is just, you know, and a lot of times that's some of the stuff he'd send me home, he'd go home and fix this, you know, come back and clean this up and bring it back tomorrow. Or sometimes I'd do it on the fly, Scott, and I'm like, oh, crap, where'd that come from? So when people say, you know, dream your dream and do your dream, this was my dream. I'd be in the studio and I'd leave some days exhausted, but so exhilarated because, yeah, this is what I've really wanted to do. I feel I'm a composer at heart, something that people can groove to, can listen to, reflect a little bit, and feel it. And hopefully they feel it from what I'm doing, because that's why I'm doing it for myself. And you go, geez, I hope other people like this too, because you want to share it. So it there's so many areas that it comes from.
Well, this may sound counterintuitive to the listeners, but instrumentals are obviously songs without words.
Right.
And so, gee, lyrics can be a very powerful part of a song, sometimes, you know, the most powerful part. But with instrumentals, you don't have that dimension, so you have to, the music is of much higher focus, and it needs, you know, you can play some weak stuff behind a great vocalist, and no one will notice because they're focusing on the vocalist, but...
Yeah.
I think it's actually harder to write instrumentals than it is to write songs with lyrics. What do you think?
Yeah, or good solid instrumental music and you know, good melodies. That's the thing, you know. I guess I'm kind of old school, and what do you remember? You remember the melody, you remember that hook. You know what I love as a teacher, when I've selected a piece for the kids, when the bell rings, they're going out humming the tunes. Or if I'm talking to their parents and they say, yeah, yeah, they're singing the songs that you're working on in class, you know, during the day, that's when I know I've been successful as a teacher, that they're humming the melody.
Absolutely.
And that to me is so important. It's got a good melody and a good lyric, and man, that tune will ring forever. That's why they call it, it's a standard. It's surpassed, you know, the time element, and it's still strong to these days. So, yeah, writing... good, solid instrumental. In fact, I'll be honest with you, some of these tunes I wrote back, way before the album was completed. How can I put it to you, time-wise? But we went back, and I said to the engineer, I said, man, friend, no, I think I need a little more here. I need some drums, I need some strings, I need this. A lot of times they were stripped down, and we were thinking of putting the album out just stripped with no backing tracks. And I said, no, man, I think it needs more. And that's when we started to add more, and that's when the whole thing started to come to fruition, started to really come together as a you know, an album, and go, yeah, this is what it's supposed to be.
Well, let's get into another track. Listeners, if you're just joining us, James Taglia is our guest. He has a CD out, Stories to Be Told. And I'm sorry for not bringing this up sooner. We will mention this many times throughout the broadcast from here. The website is James Taglia, T-A-L-I-A, JamesTaglia.com. It's linked up on our homepage. If you're listening to an archive, it's at the end of the sentence that you click for the archive. So you can click right back through and see who we're talking about. Yeah, you guys got a picture in your mind what this guy looks like. And now go look at the website. You're a handsome fella, man. You probably, it doesn't hurt either, does it, to be a musician that doesn't have a hideous look like some of my guys in my band do.
Well, thank you very much, Scott. I appreciate it. Black always works well. I just like to wear black. It's easy. It's clean. You know, you got to do the gig. You sit down, you play. But the next tune is Candy Carousel. And as I was talking a little earlier, this was so hard. I couldn't come up with a title for this tune. And it was actually one of my favorites to play. And then somebody's mentioned, you know, kind of like going back in time when you were younger. Here's a scenario. When I went to an elementary school, it was a big brick building. If you stand in front of the building, then there was a house, and then there was a playground. You actually had to step onto the sidewalk, go past the house, to get into this playground. And in this playground was one of those merry-go-rounds, you know, that kind of affixed to the ground, you know, and everybody just kind of grabbed on hold and who's spinning around. And, you know, like a kid, man, you're just having a good time. You're not worried about anything. And so Candy Carousel is kind of like a reflection back in time. You know, you're older. You met up with a great buddy, a good friend of yours, somebody you know from high school, somebody you know from elementary school that you're still friends with till today. And you just go back to that spot, man, you know, when you're on the merry-go-round going, wow, remember this when we did this? So that's what Candy Carousel was back. And hopefully when you're listening to it, you get that feeling to back when, you know, times were simpler, days were simpler when you were younger. But, you know, you can just reminisce about it and have a good time and kind of take a few minutes of rest and get back to what you got to do during the day.
Very, very well done. Jim, that's a nice cut. That is a beautiful piece of music. We'd be honored to play it on our station. Nice, nice job.
It's funny because so many people have said to me, yeah, man, I want to write lyrics to that. I want to write lyrics to that. And I guess, again, not being a lyric writer, go, geez, I'd be honored, but I could never think of a lyric to come up with that. Because I guess, as a musician, I'm just more, you know, I hear things. You know, I think any good instrumentalist or any composer will tell you, what do? They sit at their instrument, either the guitar or piano, and you noodle, and you noodle till something comes out. Like, oh, yeah, that's going someplace. So that's why, thank you so much. It's really an instrumental writer than a lyric writer, and I let the music do the speaking for me and let it build an image. That's what I'm hoping people get with it when they hear the music.
Well, you know, there is a benefit to writing instrumental music in that it's international. I don't listen to too many songs when someone's singing in Korean or Chinese or a language I don't understand.
Right.
So, you know, if instead of getting someone to translate your music, instrumentals have a worldwide audience. It's
That'd
the
cool.
international language.
Yeah, it's true. Oh, man, it is a true. I have had students come in that were international students. They may not be able to speak English well, but, man, when they put a piece of music and if they've either, you know, played before, studied before, they know how to read it. Or, you know, English, they just start singing along, even though they might not have any English background, but they start singing along. It is true. It is absolutely true. It's an international language.
Well, now you've been obviously a professional performer, doing live performances, and, of course, we're listening to your album, Stories to Be Told, so you spent time in the studio. Now, where would you rather spend tomorrow afternoon, live on stage or in the studio?
Wow, that's a very interesting question. Scott, can I say I'd love to do both, but that's hard. I think I love performing, don't get me wrong, but I think I would love to be in the studio too, because that's where the creative juices come out, man. You really, that's what's so exhilarating. Hearing your simple little melody come to life and you build on it and you write the part and you rewrite it and you write it again. Next thing you know, you go, wow, man, that is just, you know, forgive me, I say to myself, I did that? And yeah, I think that's where I would love to be in the studio. It's just so much. It's fun. Now, at the same time, when you're in the studio, man, you got to have your act together. You know, if you got to have musicians coming in, you got to have your charts ready. You got to know what parts you're laying down. You got to be able to play within the clock, the metronome, so you're not offbeat too much. So, but it's just so exhilarating to be in the studio and just listen back to what you've created. It really comes from nothing, and you put something together and you go, yeah. And that's fulfilling. For me, that's fulfilling. You know, other people may not. But at the same time, I absolutely love performing, being in a band, and I'm sure you can say the same thing. When that groove is going with the band and everybody's playing their best, it just, you can't explain it. It just, this momentum has happened, and everybody, you know, the drummer's got his beat going, and everybody's just locking into where you are. It's just it's a cool thing. It really is. It's a groovy thing happening, too. So there are both parts. I love being in the studio, and I would love being on the stage.
This next tune we're going to play is, of course, comes from a tragedy in our nation's history. It's the title of the song is September 11, and we were talking earlier today. I played some fun gigs, but I never got to play at the World Trade Center. Tell us about that gig.
I have played at the World Trade Center, and it was absolutely amazing, and I think that's something to kind of tell you what happened. I actually played there a couple times, and the first time I played there, it was a corporate gig. It was in March, so it was in the evening, and I was up at one of the top floors, I guess one of those catering rooms, and I thought the windows were frosted because everything was white outside. Like, what the heck's going on, man? Everybody says you could see out the windows. Well, yeah, with the clouds were that low that night that you couldn't see out the windows because it was just the cloud cover was so heavy. Next time I went back, it was more of a July afternoon, and it was a beautiful July afternoon, and the view was just absolutely, absolutely amazing. You could see far. You could see the Statue of Liberty. And here we were playing this wedding, and we're grooving, we're playing, and nobody was dancing because everybody was looking out the windows. The windows were that was really, you know, the windows in the world. So it was absolutely beautiful. Like everybody else, it was just a tragedy when it happened. And I was in a funk for the whole year. I'm going to back up a little bit. When I heard it happen that day, we didn't have the internet coverage we do now. And I had made friends with the speech pathologist of the high school, and he was a bass player. So we'd always kind of talk about music. So he comes in, hey, man, plane just hit the World Trade Center. I said, you got to be kidding me. So I found a little radio. We actually got NPR. And we listened. I was like, oh, my God. You know, then we heard the second one hit. And we said, uh-oh, something's really happening. So like everybody else, I just fell into a funk. You know, you just, as a person and as a musician. And during the summer of September of 2002, I think July or so, again, I was sitting down at the piano, and I'm just noodling, and I came up with the tune for September 11th. And immediately I felt so much better, so much relieved that there was hope. And I guess it was, you know, therapy for me, but hopefully somebody else will find the same listening to the tune, September 11th.
That there, folks, that's a nice piece of music. That's September 11th is the name of the cut, obviously where it came and it's got its inspiration from. And it's from the Stories to Be Told album that we're featuring tonight with our artist, James Talia. James, I just, you know, obviously I'm very partial to piano music, being one myself, being a pianist myself, but that, you know, sometimes folks, if you're having a bad day and it's, you know, I don't know, emotional day or just feel rotten, if you sit down at the piano by yourself in the quiet of your home and play a little bit, it usually lifts my spirits and puts me into an entirely different mood. Does that work for you, Jim?
Yep. Scott, you're absolutely right. It does. They say whenever you do something musical, if you're feeling kind of stressed, do something musical. Pick up an instrument, pick up a guitar, pick up play the piano, pick up a piano. I don't think so. Pick up a keyboard. But yeah, I forgot what they said. I think is it the left side of the brain? It kind of cancels out the stress of the right side of the brain, or something like that. But it does. You noodle in, and it really melts away a lot of that, at least for the few moments, and you can kind of get yourself back together and go, okay, what was I doing? And I do. Honestly, man, you're absolutely right. If I'm working on something, if I'm writing something I got to write or put a budget together for school, man, if it's getting me stressed out, I'll sit at the piano for a few minutes just to even play, just to chill out a minute. And then I go back to what I'm doing, I feel a little bit better. So it does give you that. It gives you that little bit of boost you need to get done what you got to get done.
Have you found your experience, Jim, that the creative aspect of your life, the creativity that goes into your music, that it seems to run in spurts where you will be wildly creative, like so many artists were after 9/11, that would, you know, for obvious reasons. But have you ever noticed that there may be a portion of your life where you don't write music at all for a while, and then there's another portion of your life where you write a bunch of stuff. Is that worked that way for you, or have you been pretty consistent the whole way through?
No, I agree with you, man. I hate to say this. Some of that stuff that's on some of the tunes on the album, I wrote 10 and 15 years ago, and I hope they sound fresh, but one of the tunes, another tune, I don't want to give too much away, but I wrote where I was on a vacation with my wife, and it was like 15 years ago, and I just kept it there because I didn't know what else to do with it. Finally, when I decided to put the album together, we decided to put it on. But it's so true. Some guys can sit down, every single day, and they're diligent about it, and they're disciplined about it. They'll sit at the piano, and whatever it is, they got the little tape recorder going. No, for me, it's got to kind of be like, something's really got to smack me in the head to go, ooh, I like this, to really do it. And right now, because I'm the album is done, I'm working on trying to make sure, get the album, the people to hear it, people to share it. And so I really haven't been writing as much. And you want it to be good, too. Sometimes you don't want to throw, anything on the album just for filler. I like to make sure that it's really strong. So I have to agree with you. No, I'm not. Mine is more in spurts. You're sitting down and just one day, wow, it sounds good. Another day, yeah, that was okay, but nah. And again, there's some people that do it, they're diligent, they're sitting at the keyboard every single day, and they got it down. For me, it's got to really ring. It's got to say, that's something I really want to pursue, let it, add something to it. Or, some days I'm just playing tunes that, either standards, Frank Sinatra's I Got You Under My Skin, or Billy Joel's Piano Man, or She's Got Away, something like that. Just playing tunes that I already know, just to keep going and keep playing. But it may not be something I wrote, but I agree with you about that.
And for folks that may not be able to stay for the whole hour, we're going to start telling you folks right now where you can pick up your own copy of this music. So let us know, James, where can they get this music?
You can go to my site. It's JamesTalia, TALIA.com, and you can sign up there and shoot me an email for a copy. You can go to any of the bigger sites out there. I'm not going to name them, but if you go out there, I think you might pay a little more. But check me out at JamesTalia.com. Shoot me an email and tell me what you thought. And I love to hear from people, what they thought about it, that they dug it, they didn't dig it. James at JamesTalia, TALIA, JamesTalia.com. I got to tell you a story, man. There is a reporter in Australia with the same name as me, JamesTalia.com. And I get this report that tells me you know, who's hit the website and whatnot. And I get a couple of clicks from Australia. I said, geez, I wonder if he's checking out the website. So, yeah, so there's me, I'm the musician, and there's a guy that's the news reporter, so you don't want to get me confused with him. But drop me an email, jamestalia.com. I'd love to hear from people. Music is music no matter what you do, and I'd love to share with people. And if they're digging it and they're enjoying it, that just makes me feel good, kind of, you know, validates what you do as a musician. So, yeah, James at jamestalia.com is the email, at jamestalia.com is the website. And you'll see a couple of things. I give a little history on, you know, how I got the album started, a couple of photos from the recording studio. And then there's another page where I do actual, you know, gigs where I'm playing cover tunes and stuff like that. You know, if you want to hire me in the local New York metropolitan area to play solo piano for you, I've done weddings, I've done ceremonies, I've done, you know, cocktail reception solo piano. So there's a lot there to see, man. Just check it out.
Yeah, you're getting an audition right now. Obviously, the man can play, people. You're listening to it right here. I mean, you know, you get what you get when you hire a musician or a band, and this is a great way to know what you're getting with Jim.
Thank you.
Let's get into our next track. It has a noticeable Latin beat to it. In fact, the word Latin is in the title. It's Latin Music Baby. What are we about to hear?
You know, it's funny. I couldn't. And it was always kind of a Latin kind of tune from a Latin groove from the beginning, and I didn't know what to name it. I don't know. I just thought one day Latin Music Baby. This was kind of a noodling kind of thing, and I think I threw the drum machine on one day. I go, oh, that sounds pretty cool, man. You know, it's got a nice sound to it. Just simple as that. Latin Music Baby. I was kind of thinking of a Carlos Santana kind of thing. I was thinking a little bit of, you know, I'm dating myself, Herb Albert on the trumpet in the middle section, excuse me, and it took a life of its own when you're playing these things. And this is, again, the situation where my engineer said, you know, go home, man, you got to finish some of this stuff, you got to rewrite it for me. And I guess here's the beauty of, you know, the recording industry today. You know, I got some of the equipment at home where I can kind of, you know, do some of the editing at home and bring it back to him in the studio and say, hey, here's what I got. Now just throw, you know, lay it into the file. I mean, years ago, if you remember, man, everything was like either by tape and you had to have certain tape machines. Now you can put a basic studio in your own home. And that really worked for me. And so it really, this was just a fun tune. I kept thinking of Carlos Santana, you know, when he was playing, you know, a couple of his tunes. And Herb Albert, there's a trumpet part in there. And it's just, I kind of think it's infectious. I kind of like it. It's just got a nice groove to it, man. If you want to cha-cha, you want to, you know, do a little, you know, couples dance and be my guest.
are listening to a featured music special on Artist First World Radio, Z-Man Studio 1A. Talking with James Taglia, our featured music special. James will be joining us. Look on the schedule if you guys are listening real time. Oh, it's probably going to be in February. Look on our schedule. He's coming back. He'll be back with the great Corey King. So we will be concluding tonight's program, having played six of his 12 tracks. On his next appearance, we'll be playing the songs we didn't play tonight. What have you found, James, to be the most challenging part of getting a CD from your brain into the box when UPS delivers them?
Wow. Good question. You know, when you're an independent artist, you're doing it all. You're doing it on your own. You're doing it on by yourself. You know, really, it's just coordination and making sure everything is, you know, on time in terms. Okay, studio time. Fred, I'm coming in. You got a few hours? Okay, I got to call the trumpet player. Okay, let me give him a call. Okay, you know, and then next day we'll do the sax player. It's just keeping the ball up in the air, and so there is no downtime, and making sure that everything is pretty much down to the checklist and ready to go, so that when you walk in that door, in that studio door, they don't go, okay, what are we doing now? I know my part. The trumpet player's got his charts. The engineer knows where we're taking it from. Either he's got my basic file that I can walk in with, or we're taking it from scratch. I think it's the coordination of everything and really making sure you know what you want before you walk into that studio. Because, it's money. And you don't want to look like a fool to the other people that you hire. And I said to the musicians that I hire, guys, I have never done this before in my life. So please tell me what I'm doing wrong or right. You know, does this sound good to you? Does this melody line sound good to you? Is this going to work here? What do you think? And many a times, you know, me and the engineer would actually, you know, go back and forth. No, this, and I'll tell you a story the next time about one of the tunes that we totally changed the feel of the song, and I'm so glad he did because it changed it. So I'm going to tell you, you're the organizer. You got to have your act together so that you're not wasting money. And you have a direction where you want the CD to go, so again it doesn't get wasted. I'll never forget a story. I'm going to talk about a guy, but everybody, you know, hopefully everybody knows about Neil Diamond. Neil Diamond, the you know, the balladeer, the guitar player. I'll never forget reading an article about him. People would say about him was that he always came into the studio prepared. Madonna, the same thing. Always came into the studio prepared. Knew her songs. Knew what she was singing. She had memorized them, and she was ready to go. There was never, yo, man, what are we going to do next? No. They knew what they wanted. They got it ready to go, and they had it all prepared and all organized.
Well, and you know, people not in the business, they don't realize when you sit down, studio time isn't expensive. It's freaking expensive.
Freaking expensive.
And, in fact, there are very few small studios anymore, like just like your mom-and-pop gas station and your mom-and-pop drugstore. They're gone.
Yeah.
And they're gone because consumers, for the cost of producing one CD, can buy enough equipment to have their own studio.
Right.
So, if you know, it's just been tough on the mom-and-pop operations. But anyway, the cost... You know, for a well-done album, it's about the same as buying a brand-new car.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
You know.
That's exactly it.
And so, I mean, I just want to put this in perspective, people. It can be tens of thousands of dollars to put out a CD. And the ones that don't spend tens of thousands on, you can tell because they don't sound very good. But at any rate, so this is a substantial, for those that aren't in the business, it is a substantial commitment, not only in time, but a lot of money.
Yeah,
and I was pleased to hear you say that you asked for someone else's opinion, because unfortunately it's common among musicians that they know everything and no one else knows anything, and the most successful people are willing to listen to others in the studio that might be hearing something different, and instead of saying it's my way or the highway, which unfortunately rears its head too many times. The next tune we're going to play, folks, by our guest James Taglia, is a Favorite of mine on the sea. There were three favorites I actually liked, but this is one of them. It's called Vermont Snow, and this is another beautiful piece. Is it obvious what you wrote it about?
I hope so. It's funny. When I wrote it, this again was one of these tunes I wrote a while ago. But me and my wife like to go to this cabin up in Vermont. It's in the Green Mountains, and man, there's just nothing around. It's like a house here, and then I don't know how many yards away is the next house, and you know there's another house. It's real slow, and there's a sign up there. It's hysterical. Throughway begins here. Man, there's two lanes. One going, you know, north, one going south. I'm like, I'm waiting to see three or four lanes on either side. And it said, Throughway begins here. It's just a real, real sweet, quiet place to go and write. And Vermont does that to me. And I guess when I was in college, I had that opportunity to, I was going to school in Massachusetts at the time. So a bunch of us took a hike over to Vermont. I was just so taken by the, you know, just, and don't get me wrong, upstate New York is beautiful and Massachusetts was so much fun. But there was just something serene about Vermont, especially the Green Mountains. And I'd love to set my keyboard up right in front of the window and look out the window and what was right in front of me but the Green Mountains. I mean, we were pretty high too, you know. I mean, we weren't like in the valley too far. And it was just one of those things that, you know, you chill out and you listen and relax. And out came, again, when I write, I try to write simple. Sometimes I go, geez, was it too simple, man? Was it, maybe I should need to be a little virtuosic here, but this is the way I write. That's what comes out. And hopefully you can hear Vermont, especially when I put the bells in the middle of it. I had so much fun with that. And out came Vermont Snow.
That's a beautiful piece of music, folks. That's the kind of music I enjoy listening to. I enjoy all kinds of music, but that piece of music right there is very well done. Congratulations on a great album, James.
Thank you, Scott.
James will be back with us sometime, I suspect, in February. They haven't quite, it'll be on the schedule, folks. Look for it. If you're listening to an archive of this broadcast, there may be another show you can listen to right now with Corey King. It may be available on the archive. It's all that time-space warp thing continuing with these archives. We've got to stay on top of there, James. Now, let's tell everybody again, in case they tuned in late, where can they pick up your CD?
Pick up my CD at JamesTalia.com. Register for me. Send me an email. Send you a copy. Or if you can get it you want, you can get it from CD Baby. You can get it from Amazon. You can get it from iTunes. Actually, if you really want, I can't do the, the MP3s from my site. But, yeah, you can buy MP3s from, I believe, iTunes, CD Baby, and Amazon. They're out there, too, if you want to load them up to your iPod. I would be so appreciative. Thank you so much. But James Talia at JamesTalia.com is the email. And what else can I tell you?
Well, I think it's very, very well done. I'm envious. I don't have a CD out, and I would be proud to put my name on this CD. I call them records still, folks.
I have a
record player. I still listen to albums. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. I just got a new turntable. It actually converts things into MP3 files. But you know what? I don't do that. I just listen to my albums from the way back when. You know, in a closing note here, the times, they are changing, James, because here we are, we're talking about records and albums, and most people listening don't have any of those. They are now, it was a couple of weeks ago now, I don't know if you heard it on the news or not, but the major record labels have announced they will soon cease to produce CDs.
You know, I think I heard that.
Yes,
I read that.
It's long overdue.
Wow.
You know, you will only be able to get music digitally in the future by the major labels. Now, CDs are going to be around for another 100 years, of course. But they're going to be relegated to the cassette tape, the 8-tracks, and the album world because, well, you know, in all honesty, my MP3 player, the little thing about the size of a lighter, can hold, I don't know, enough data for 8 or 10 or 20 CDs.
That's it.
So which is better? But, you know, what you do is, folks, you buy the CD, you load it to your iPod, then you put the CD on the shelf and listen to the music on your iPod. That seems to be where the business is going.
That would be great if people could do that too. And again, I just love to share my music with people. I call it good car music, man, Scott. It's good to listen to in the car just to kind of get yourself set. You're working around the house. I'm that kind of a instrumentalist player. I write in that fashion. So if you're just looking to chill and kind of get yourself together, you know, or you're with someone, just pop the CD and relax. That's kind of what I write like.
Well, it's a great CD, folks. You know us. We're pretty fussy about who we allow to be on the Artist First radio station, not for featured music specials, because we welcome everyone. I'm talking about what we play in our daily rotation. It has to be good, or we'll let some other radio station play it, like the one you listen to in the morning on your way to work. And I won't go there. But, James, congratulations on a very, very well-done project. We look forward to having you back in February.
Thank you, Z-Man.
But we're going to go out with one final cut, everybody. It's titled Melody America. And, James, set this one up for our listeners as their final track.
Again, when I was 6 years old, I had this big old clunky upright. My God, Scott, it was heavy. This thing was big and heavy and tall. And I'll never forget sitting down. I don't know, can you hear the piano when I play it? If I play right now, could you hear this?
Play it. Yes, certainly.
I don't know if you heard that or not.
Yeah, isn't that one of those freaky commercials that you don't know what they're selling?
I basically wrote the three notes to this tune on the piano when I was growing up, and I could never finish it. And finally, I was able to finish it, and it came to be known as Melody America. What we kind of did was we, just for the sake of the CD, we kind of took the intro and we put it on the end. But Melody America really started as a melody, just a little triad when I was 6 years old, and I've kept it in my brain and never knew how to finish it. And finally, I was able to finish it. And then in the middle of it, we decided to add a Hammond B3 organ and a guitar, like a distortion guitar solo. And I, again, this is where I write. I think in the way of imagery. I couldn't help but thinking, riding down the highway, man, on my Harley, everything is beautiful. America is one of the greatest countries to be in, and I couldn't help but call it Melody America.
Well done, James. Can't wait to have you back on. JamesTaglia.com. It's linked on the homepage. It's linked on the archive pages. Folks, we're out of time for this broadcast. This is Z-Man saying thanks for tuning in, everybody. Download some music. Grab a couple of these tunes. Hey, you can go to iTunes. It's a buck. You know, it's cheaper to buy it than steal it. We appreciate you supporting the many fine artists that come on these featured music specials. James, be safe. We'll see you in February.
Z-Man, be well. Scott, good to talk to you. I'll talk to you real soon. Everybody say hello to the studio. Shout out to my family. Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Barbara. Thank my wife, Marilyn, for all this. Love you all. God bless.